There's no doubt that Hezekiah's son Manasseh is one of the worst kings that Judah ever had. He was an idolater. He shed innocent blood. He desecrated the temple in Jerusalem by putting in idols to foreign gods. The Lord did not ignore Manasseh's sin or the sins of his people. He rebuked him. The Bible says the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. No doubt the Lord spoke to Manasseh through his prophets like Isaiah and Micah. But Manasseh did not pay any attention, and his people willingly followed in his wicked ways. In fact, he committed so many atrocities in Jerusalem that long after he was dead, the Lord God was still threatening judgment on the people because of Manasseh's sins. Manasseh had a very godly grandson named Josiah, but even Josiah was not able to put a stop to the judgment that God called down on the people because of Manasseh's sins, his grandfather's sins. The Bible says in 2 Kings, there was no king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. No God-fearing king like Josiah. Yet the Bible says, nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger was aroused against Judah because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, I will also remove Judah from my sight as I have removed Israel. So Israel had been carried off earlier, and now God said, I'm going to carry off Judah also because of the sins of Manasseh. So Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked Jerusalem and Judah long after Manasseh was gone. And the Bible explains why God sent Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to destroy Jerusalem. Because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed. For he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. So just think of it. The sins that we commit now may have an effect on generations yet unborn, and they may be punished for our sins if they continue in them, as God said he would punish the sins unto the third and the fourth generations of those that hate him and do not keep his commandments. So what a terrible legacy Manasseh passed on to future generations because of his great wickedness. We certainly don't want to pass on such a legacy to our children, do we? But now, we can't conclude our accounting of Manasseh without realizing that God was merciful to him, even to him. We have here a miracle of God's mercy and grace that would seem almost beyond possibility. Manasseh was king for 55 years, and no doubt he spent most of those 55 years in rebellion against God. But finally, God stopped talking to Manasseh, and he took action against him. We read in 2 Chronicles, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. You remember the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son wasted his substance with riotous living. And then, when he was down and out, the only job he could get was feeding pigs, and he looked forward to eating the pods that the pigs ate. You know what happened then? That he remembered his father's house. He turned to the Lord, and the Lord received him gladly. Well, that's what happened to Manasseh. When he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. So after all of these years of rebellion against God, God worked this miracle in Manasseh's heart that he remembered the Lord God of his father Hezekiah, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he confessed his sins to the Lord and asked for relief. And now here is the miracle. God received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. He went back home, his royal authority was restored, and the Bible says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. His idols were not God. Those gods that he had worshipped were not able to help him, but when he turned to the true God, God heard his prayer and helped him and brought him back home. Now he knew there was only one God, the God of his father David, the Lord God Jehovah, the God who had promised that the son of David would come, into the world, the great Messiah who would save his people, the Savior of the world from his own family. Now Manasseh did not have enough time left in his life to undo all the damage that he had done. His grandson Josiah was still cleaning up the mess that Manasseh had made. But he made a beginning. He took away the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem. And he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Don't follow my wicked ways. Now serve the only true God. He could not finish the job of cleaning up his mess, but he made a beginning. And certainly we are reminded of God's word, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So, this certainly does not teach us that this is the way we ought to live, waste our lives, and then at the end turn to the Lord. But it does teach us that God has mercy. God's grace is greater than any sin that we can commit. We're reminded of the thief on the cross, who may also have led his entire life in rebellion against God and sins against him, and yet, after seeing the man next to him on the cross, God worked that miracle in his life. And he turned to the Lord and asked the Lord to remember him. And we have Jesus' word. Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. God's grace. Let us sing in the service book, hymn 447, stanzas 4 through 6.